Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I am Alan Jackaway, and sitting next to me is James Bunnell. James.
Alan.
It's all coming together for us.
It is.
You know why?
Why?
Taiwan Jones.
Taiwan Jones.
So, preliminary results are that Latavius Murray may be playing running back for the Oakland Raiders, but you never know with a concussion.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, time will be split between Marcel Reese, not relevant to this podcast.
Yeah.
And Taiwan Jones, who qualifies at running back and cornerback in ESPN standard leagues.
Which is amazing.
I'm just saying that it could become the best pickup we've ever provided on the show. I think there's a legitimate chance of it.
Definitely.
I don't know if we're going to be able to match it. We might want to give up. And in fact, this would be a good week to give up, because I've got some weird stuff to discuss.
This may be the last episode, listeners.
It may be. All right, James, we are back on track. There is a divisional game from this week that we could do to preview.
That's right.
Totally existed.
It does.
I think I'm supposed to go first.
I think so, too.
All right. We are doing Seahawks. That's going to be me. And then Arizona Cardinals. That's going to be James. So here we go. Without further ado, the haiku for the Seahawks. Seahawks are too good to help you in fantasy, but too bad to win. Okay, so what's going on there?
Outstanding.
The Seahawks defense, by all the, like, expected points kind of metrics, are in the top 10. Comfortably, they're in, like, that 5-7 range in pretty much everything.
Okay.
And they've already had their bye, so they have a slight disadvantage.
Right.
In those expected points ones.
Right.
So that's really good. However, if you go and look at their fantasy players, it is not pretty. They have basically three startable players. Michael Bennett, strong starter at defensive end.
Yeah.
Cliff Avril, weaker, but startable at defensive end. And after that, a lot of players who are questionable. Now, again, they've had their bye, so like Earl Thomas being 31st among safeties means that he's still on the border. That probably puts him around 25.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not great. Bobby Wagner's sitting at 37 among linebackers. I still believe in Bobby Wagner, because I think he's one of the better linebackers in the league. Still, I'm still in on Bobby Wagner, literally, in this particular case, since I own him on our team, or on my team, in our league. But if I were drafting, you know, he would be on the borderline of draftable based on what we've seen this year.
Yeah.
And really, again, the only players I would be interested in are Bennett, Avril, and again, I would say Wagner and Earl Thomas. And the rest of it's just hasn't been good.
You know,
at the beginning, when Cam Chancellor first came back, it seemed like he was the way to go, but the last 2 weeks leading into their bye were not great.
No.
And I'm not convinced that the early Cam Chancellor was better than the later Cam Chancellor. And so the question that I got into, and the reason I think we're going to spend longer in this preview section, is why? How is it possible that they're like the seventh best defense, they have like three players who are worth playing?
Okay.
And as far as I can tell, the answer is that very few plays are run against them. They have the fewest plays run against them of any team in the league.
Okay.
They have allowed the fewest first downs of any team in the league.
Okay.
And I think the result of that is there's just been literally fewer opportunities for them to score points. And they're not an elite turnover team, right? So they're actually tied for, depending on how you want to look at it, if you want to look at it as negatively as possible, they are tied for the sixth worst turnover number in the league, right? So the result of that is that you're not getting those big turnover points. And you're not getting enough tackles because there aren't enough plays.
Yeah.
And I just think that's going to lead to not a lot of startable players from this team. And that's it. And
that's
you know, you might say that's why it's going to be shorter, or it's felt short.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm going to come back around to it when we get to your team.
All right.
So let's do it.
Here we go, guys. The Arizona Cardinals. Cornerbacks, safeties, Arizona has them all because they have to. And what we got going on here is Arizona is unique for a lot of reasons in football this year. One of them is that they have more defensive backs on the field on every play than any team in the NFL by a huge margin. At least
as it goes for fantasy. You could argue that some of these players are not truly defensive backs.
Yeah, and in fact, if you look at the Arizona Cardinals published depth chart, their right inside linebacker has a safety's number, has a defensive back's number, and is in fact safety Deion Buchanan.
Well, that's because basically they play in a base nickel defense.
Yeah.
So they play five defensive backs on the field all the time. Always.
Yeah. And you can see that, you can see how that works out a little bit if you look into some of their advanced metrics. Their pass defense is awesome. Their run defense is good, but not great. But they do not generate sacks very well.
Hmm.
They're currently tied for the fewest sacks in the league. But at the same time, it doesn't hurt them as much as you might think, like for a team like the Giants, who are terrible at getting sacks, but who play a conventional secondary, and it causes problems for them. Because Arizona doesn't have a conventional anything, basically, especially their secondary, the fact that they don't generate sacks isn't really a problem. It's not, they've built that into how they scheme. And I think part of this is because they have a really weak linebacker core that is currently riddled with injuries already. So they have, Kevin Minter is the only real linebacker that they have that plays on a regular basis. Everybody else is hurt or bad.
And a valuable starter who we recommended you pick up several weeks ago.
Exactly. In fact, if we switch real quick over to the fantasy element, you'll notice that there are five startable Cardinals players in fantasy football. One of them is Kevin Minter, and the rest are defensive backs.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
I think Calais Campbell is startable as
Calais
well.
Calais Campbell is startable.
He's a defensive end, and he's their only source of sacks.
That is true.
And tackles for loss, which is the main,
which
I think,
is the
his
real
big thing.
His real point value there. That's true. He's definitely in the startable range for defensive ends. But technically, because Tyrann Mathieu is eligible as both cornerback and safety, the other four players that you could start on Arizona are all safeties.
Yeah, which is goofy.
Which is goofy, but they're all in the top 10 of their positions
and
in fantasy
football. And Patrick
football.
Peterson, I think, has kind of comfortably entered that territory where people don't throw at him enough.
Yeah, he's being plagued by the too well-respected to earn you points in fantasy football.
Yep.
But just pick up, if you put all of the Arizona defensive backs on a dartboard and threw a dart at the dartboard, just draft whichever one the dart hits, and you're basically okay. Although, you want Tyrann Mathieu, if you can get him.
Yeah, that would be.
Which
you
can't.
You probably can. But Deion Buchanan, I think, is strong, and Tony Jefferson. Both of those guys probably were overlooked in the draft. If you're in an active league, they're probably owned by now.
Yeah.
But, you know, those guys are useful. And, you know, you can do worse than Frosty Rucker just so that you have Frosty Rucker on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Deion Buchanan leads the team in tackles. Frosty Rucker shares the lead for the team for sacks.
Which is only two.
So not great. But it's hilarious. The defensive backs on the Arizona team have produced, they're tied for the most interceptions in football, basically. Rashad Johnson has four of them, which is an ungodly number.
Yeah, so that's going to lead into the weird thing that I wanted to talk about.
Well, because then maybe now's a good time to transition.
Yeah, I said in the last section, the Seahawks were having problems because not enough plays went against them.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then I looked up, I was like, but the Cardinals have lots of startable players.
Yeah.
How many plays have been run against them? And
yeah.
Of course, it's more.
Yeah.
But only by about 20.
Yeah.
And they're like the seventh, it looks like, fewest plays run against them. Nope, sixth. I had it right the first time. The sixth fewest plays are run against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe, just maybe, this is that thing where some teams get more tackles than others.
Yeah.
Okay. But I looked into that, and it doesn't, at least in the last year I could find numbers for, without going through something miserable like having to add a bunch of stuff up for every team individually by hand, was 2013. And in that league, and in that year, Arizona had one of the fewest tackle numbers of any team.
Yeah.
And Seattle actually had one of the most. So, and at that point, I was just like, what's going on? And I think I figured it out, though.
If you remember, listeners, what Alan isn't saying is that some teams actually make more tackles. He's talking about the scorekeepers in certain stadiums rate things differently. Like, some teams are credited with more tackles from their scorekeepers, is our theory, anyway.
It's more than a theory, I would claim, given that in 2013, Buffalo had 1,300 total tackles credited, and Kansas City had 870.
Okay, that seems like far too large of a swing to be...
Yeah, like, this is a real thing that happens.
Right.
But so, I was thinking this through a little more, and yeah. I think that just has to be the turnovers. Because there's literally been twice as many turnovers, or I guess, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
17 turnovers for Arizona, 9 turnovers for Seattle.
Okay.
And I think that's makes a huge difference for the defensive scoring. I mean, if you just think about it, that's a difference of 8 turnovers. We generally score turnovers at either at roughly 6 points in our scoring.
Yeah.
That's 48 more points. 48 points, if that was a player...
Yeah.
Right? Would be a startable player at every position but linebacker.
Yeah.
Over the course of the year.
Yeah.
And so they're basically losing all those points by just not generating turnovers the way they have in the past.
Yeah. Here I see, especially since we grade forced fumbles, whether or not the defense actually recovers them pretty highly, Arizona has 11 of those in addition to their 13 interceptions. So that's...
Right, that's a lot insanity. Of points that are being added, basically, to the members of the team. And a lot of those are coming in those safeties.
Yeah. Right? Yes. In fact, most of them are coming from these defensive backs and safeties.
Anyway, that's it. That's my interesting thing I found. But when I saw that Arizona had nearly as few plays as Seattle, I just went a little crazy. I was like, how does this even add up?
It seems weird. Yeah, I noticed that, too, that I was going to say that the Cardinals had the second fewest first downs allowed after Seattle, which, I don't know, this should be an interesting showdown this week. Two defenses that are arguably, that have a relationship of some kind, that are similar in some way, in their outcomes at least, if not in their actual schemes, and we get to see what happens when they go head-to-head, or head-to-head with their respective offenses.
Yep, should be fun.
I find it amusing, this is an offensive side note, so it's not going to matter all that much, but Pro Football Focus has graded Carson Palmer through the first half of the year as the best quarterback in football.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been pretty spectacular, and it's going to be hilarious to see what happens when he goes up against the Seahawks defense.
James, I have a follow-up to a thing you just said.
Okay.
You said when these two defenses face off Sunday, what do you think would happen if only these two defenses played, but they had to play both sides of the field, so they had to play offense?
I think that in this instance, Arizona would have a distinct advantage.
I was thinking that as well. I'm interested to hear why you think that's the case.
I think that players like Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, the defensive back heavy roster that Arizona fields, are much more well suited to running offensive plays than Seattle's sort of more traditional heavy front defense.
So you think the speed will?
I think the speed would carry them over the Seattle defense.
Interesting. I'm trying to figure out really quickly if any of them, if they have any quarterbacks or safeties that like used to be quarterbacks, because obviously that would be a big help.
That would be great. But my instinct was Mathieu played both ways in college.
That's true. That's an advantage as well. And you know, Patrick Peterson was playing wide receiver a little bit last year.
Yeah, so he even knows their offense a little bit.
Yeah, whereas the Seahawks, of course, don't do goofy things like that, and as a result, they may be less prepared.
They would probably lose this contest if you had to pick. Who would be quarterback from each defense? Just
absent knowing nothing.
Knowing nothing, just, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go with... I really want to go with Calais Campbell, but I don't think that's a great idea. I'm going to go with Kevin Minter. Okay. I think he's been kind of running that defense. I think he can run the offense. You know what
Seems like a good call.
On the Seattle side, however, I think I want to go with Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
I think he's got that vision for the field.
I like that
call. And he can kind of use that and read the field. Maybe mm-hmm. run some option stuff. And I think I would go with Earl Thomas on the, yeah. on the Seattle
side. I was thinking him or Richard Sherman, maybe.
Yeah, I think know that the Richard thing with Richard Sherman is I think you need him as a receiver.
You probably do. Yeah, he's probably more valuable out there as a receiver. But I think he'd be an interesting quarterback to watch.
Yeah. All right, that will do us. So when that happens, when...
Right. When Allen is commissioner.
Many of you don't know this, but teams actually fly out to games. They separate by offense and defense.
Yeah, when the offensive team is grounded due to mechanical failure, right, of the right. plane.
And
right?
only the defense makes it out there. Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, the Seahawks being gracious competitors...
Right, they would be like, okay.
If you guys only have your defense, we'll only play our defense.
Our defense.
That's only fair.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to come to pass.
Allen.
Yes.
What if we replace the Pro Bowl with two games? One where only offenses play each other, and one where only defenses play each other.
I'm all in for it. I mean, we already proposed last year replacing the Pro Bowl with...
Skills
a game where,
right?
Well, that too, but also a game where no one was allowed to play their
position.
Oh,
right, that's right. Yeah.
So I'm all in favor of that. All right, let's do some pickups, James. Obviously, Tywan Jones. Just
yeah.
get that out of the way real quick.
Forever.
There's
Every
a legitimate
week
chance
for
you
the
might
rest
be able
of
to play.
Year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a legitimate chance you might be able to play him at running back, a running back at your cornerback slot.
Yeah.
And cornerback's so unpredictable that unless you basically have Tyrann Mathieu, you
yeah.
probably want to do that. Or Josh Norman, that is correct. Sorry, Josh Norman.
It's okay. He forgives you.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he forgives me. However, you might not have that option.
Yeah.
You might be looking for other pickups.
Yeah.
Let's just go through a couple. I will say that... Here's my quick one. If Jordan Hicks is available, which he probably isn't, but he could be, and not hurt, we're still waiting for.
Oh, we're not waiting anymore.
Oh no,
he's been
did
placed
that get
on
announced?
Injured reserve.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so forget
Jordan
that one. A little
Hicks
too late on that one.
Season is done, unfortunately.
That's a shame.
Yeah, big unfortunate.
Well, that's someone you might need to replace with another linebacker.
It's true. Do you want to know what happened to him?
He tore his pectoral, question mark?
Yeah,
that's what it looked
that's
like
right.
happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
During
that
when
is,
I saw it happen, that's what I thought happened.
I was praying that he had dislocated his shoulder. Not something you usually
yeah.
find yourself doing, but that's at least something that, you know, Charles Woodson has certainly proved
well,
he can recover from
yeah,
pretty quickly.
Yeah, and same with that Malcolm Floyd injury last night. You were just hoping it was a dislocation so that
yeah.
they could get it back together. But
oh, God,
it's
torn
not that
pectoral.
Surprising.
That's just an injury that makes me cringe.
Yeah. It's
like it's like a torn bicep, which also just makes me cringe. Ugh. Sometimes I'm glad I don't play professional football.
Sometimes.
Not all the time.
All right, James. Well, if you needed a linebacker to replace
Jordan Hicks
on your team, are there any linebackers that are worth picking up?
The only one that I can recommend in good conscience is the person who would essentially be his replacement, Brandon Graham. He would get.
Yeah,
he's gonna. He's,
I think so.
But him and Kiko Alonso are going to split the downs that Hicks would have been in, and Kiko seems to be coming back slower than I would have liked, slower than his team probably
yeah.
needed him to. But that was not a slight against him. That's the injury. That's how injuries work. So Brandon Graham is going to get more exposure, and he's already on the border of startable. And if he gets more opportunities, that'll probably push him into a level where he's reliably startable.
All right,
he
I
also
have...
had a monster game against Dallas, so maybe he's
yeah,
good.
And that's something. Mm-hmm. I have one, too. This is, I said this last week. Didn't work. I'm going to double down.
Okay.
Sean Lee's hurt.
Yes.
Probably not going to play.
Yes.
Rolando McClain.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. I know he kind of didn't show up last week after Sean Lee got hurt, but I still think...
I think Rolando McClain is a good...
I think that's a good option.
Good option.
A good option for you. All right, that's enough for linebackers. Again, linebackers are impossible to find at any point.
Yeah, just give up. Trade for them.
Yeah,
beat people
yes.
up and steal their passwords. Make them trade with you.
It's not the worst approach. I mean, it's the worst.
It's
approach,
the worst
but,
approach.
You know, how about defensive ends, James?
Oh man,
I have one I'm seriously considering.
Okay, hit me up.
I'm seriously considering Brian Robeson of Minnesota.
All right,
he's been inconsistent, but if you need a spot start. He gets enough sacks and he gets enough kind of tackles for loss and that kind of action that on the weeks that he scores well, I think he's worth giving a shot to. 10.5 points last week without any of those coming from sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Just tackles for loss, that kind of stuff. I think it's worth a shot if you're kind of desperate. And that's basically where you are at this point in the situation if you need to pick.
Oh, definitely, up, yeah.
Is that you're a little bit desperate.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one.
Another option I think that's reasonable with Cameron Wake on injured reserve officially, which I guess happened last week, is Olivier Vernon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that he's not as good, but at least with, he'll have a little more playing time. It's more opportunity. Yeah. I think it can kind of balance itself out.
He's been in the startable range for the past few years.
Yep.
And like you said, he got hurt in the beginning of the season, so his numbers this year aren't very good. But it's because of, he barely played until their bye week, essentially. And now that he's come back from their bye week, he's shown up, and he's doing pretty good. And now with Cameron Wake injured...
Yeah, I think if you wanted someone a little more consistent, that's probably who I would go for.
Yeah, it's a good pickup. If you want to take a flyer on a crazy quarterback, why not try David Amerson?
Sure, why not?
He's got a high upside, he's a high upside, high variability quarterback right there for you.
And that's cornerback.
Cornerback, guys, yeah. You're obviously not drafting quarterbacks in this league.
We should consider it. I feel like we recommended DJ Hayden last 2 weeks ago from Oakland, and we're just going to keep recommending Oakland cornerbacks until one of them works out. And Tywan Jones, for that matter.
You know what? Just draft,
They're the only, the Cardinals have all the safeties you want, and the
Raiders have all the cornerbacks. Yeah.
I'm okay with David Amerson. I would be willing to give that one a shot.
Yeah.
The safety I would be looking at, if I was looking for a safety, I think there's... My preference, I think, is probably Kenny Vaccaro.
Oh, yeah.
It's a player that we really liked last year. The only downside of Kenny Vaccaro is he hasn't had his bye yet, so he's sitting
You'll get him for one week, and then you
have to wait. But if you need him this week, let's say you've got a bunch of players on a bye at safety this week, might not be so bad for you. So Kenny Vaccaro is probably my first... choice. I heard you have a Washington player you want to recommend us.
If we're talking about safeties, we got to talk about Deshaun Goldson. I don't know if he's still available in your leagues. He's still available in our league,
so
but only because my roster is full. But he is, he's definitely been worth it. Both Washington safeties, honestly, have had surprisingly good seasons. I mean, just racking up the tackles. It's a little bit disconcerting because it means there might be something wrong with our linebacking core, but for fantasy purposes, you don't have to think about that. You just have to think about that starting number.
Sounds good to me. And we don't recommend defensive tackles.
Ever, so basically.
Don't have to worry about that.
Unless your name's Aaron Donald.
That's everything we need.
Yeah. We're out of players. There are no other players in football.
Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. It turns out they were still on tour last week. They
really?
Were up in Canada. And we
forgot
to Canada.
Okay, if they're in Canada, are they really on tour, or are they on tour with an E on the end?
Oh, that's probably what messed us up. That's
probably what screwed us up.
So anyway, if you are in Canada, or in, I believe they finish up in New England, you might still be able to see them. Still an opportunity for you.
I hear that Tom Brady is a big fan.
I think that's true.
Of Ned and the Dirt. That's why he arranged for them to finish their tour in New England.
I believe that's correct. Yeah. Hit of the week is on bye this week.
Yeah.
No hits this week.
Everybody
just took a break. Everyone took a little break hitting each other, pretty much. Nice, good, clean form tackles, wrap up.
Yeah, everybody played. Everybody was sticking to their textbook training here. No Mavericks, no loose cannons. No one we had to take off the case.
Yeah, although I did just think of one. If we want to pull one in, here's an option for hit of the week. So Cowboys are driving.
Yeah.
It's that Eagles Cowboys game. They're driving to try to win or tie. You know, they can get the field goal to tie. They can drive and win. They can touchdown and win. They get.
Oh, I
a pass interference penalty that seemed vaguely legit.
Yeah.
They get a pass interference penalty that I did not think was legitimate even a little bit, where it looked like Dez Bryant was interfering with the cornerback and not the other way around. And then on the next play, they get a defensive holding penalty where a guy just grabbed Jason Witten by the... It looked like
just
head, but it was actually
a
shoulder.
Lock.
And threw him on the ground.
That was awesome, yeah.
It was pretty great.
It was definitely holding, and it was definitely,
yeah, at some
definitely
level,
awesome.
If you're going to get penalized for holding, you might as well hold them all the way to the ground, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was classic. It was amazing.
So that'll do it for there. We will be back next week with another divisional matchup. We're kind of running low on these. I mean,
yeah, we're almost 10. We're running out of teams. Running out of
teams. What can you do?
I don't know. Make more teams.
Yeah, expand. Got to expand that league. All right, that'll do it. From Alan
and James, stay low.